Thought you was coming back up here to preach. I was going to sit down. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be with you this morning. It's great to see you here. I appreciate everyone who's here so that we can worship God together. I was talking with a preaching buddy of mine. We were talking about post-COVID and the congregation where he preaches. They've still got a lot who have not come back, and he had asked, you know, about the congregation here, and I said, you know, we've still got, a couple, but for the most part, everyone's back, and I told him the past couple Sunday, and looking out, it looks to be the case this Sunday, too. Everyone has been here at the same time. Everyone is evidently well, and we've had numbers that are about where we were before COVID ever started, and so it's great to see you, great to have this opportunity to study God's Word and to worship together. Have you ever wondered what a person was thinking? Maybe they did something that was not very wise. Maybe they said something and you think to yourself, that's not the best thing to say. Maybe they involved themselves with someone or something that they shouldn't have had. And when it happens, we ask that question, what in the world were they thinking? Well, as we come this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, we find the answer to the question, what was Solomon thinking? Because the book of Ecclesiastes is, if you will, a roadmap of his life. It is a roadmap of his search for meaning and for purpose. And unfortunately, for Solomon, that search took him in a lot of wrong directions. He looked for meaning and for purpose in so many different places where it just could not be found. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I hope that you do, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, because in chapter 2, we see Solomon searching for this meaning and this purpose. Now, Solomon's going to be confused on where that purpose can be found. But as we come to the end of chapter 2, and especially as we come to the very end of the book, we see that he ultimately figures it out. He ultimately figures out what is most important. Two points that we're going to notice this morning together as we look at these thoughts from a king. Number one, we want to begin by noticing the king's confusion. The king's confusion. Unfortunately, Solomon at the beginning was confused on where he could find true meaning and true purpose for his life. In the first 10 verses of chapter 2, we see at least four different areas where Solomon searches for this meaning and this purpose. Now, none of these areas were able to give Solomon the fulfillment, the substance that he desired. And it's very similar to our world today. As we look at these four areas, we see four areas where people today search for meaning and purpose. If you jump on Amazon and do a search for books concerning the meaning and purpose of life, y'all, it just fills up the page, all right? You've got page after page after page of all these books, and people don't produce books that don't sell. Well, I guess some do, but for the most part, if you're going to publish a book, you publish it with the intent of it selling. And so for there to be so many books on the topic means that there's so many people that are looking, so many people that are searching, so many people trying to find something to hold on to. Something that makes this life make sense. Because so often it doesn't. And we see that as we read the words of Solomon. Here was a king who had it all but couldn't really find the thing that he truly wanted. And so as we look at these first 10 verses, these four areas are where he sought for this meaning and this purpose but couldn't find it there. Number one, he sought for meaning and purpose in pleasures. Notice verses 1 and 2 and then also verse 10 with me. Solomon writes, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, but surely this also was vanity. You're going to see this word vanity over and over and over again in the book of Ecclesiastes. Over and over, Solomon says it's vanity, it's useless, it's worthless. It holds no true meaning. He said in verse 2, I said of laughter, madness. And of mirth, what does it accomplish? Verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Solomon searched for meaning and purpose and pleasures. And I want us to divide that into two categories. First off, I want us to talk for a moment about sinful pleasures. Solomon searched for meaning and purpose in that. And many partake in sin because it does bring pleasure. If it didn't, there would be no temptation to commit sin. But friends, that pleasure is only temporary. And that pleasure is not true happiness. You know, Moses realized that point, didn't he? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 and 25, you recall the Hebrew writer says that by faith Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the, watch it, passing pleasures of sin. The King James Version says those pleasures were but for a season. Moses understood that the pleasure associated with sin, it doesn't last. It's temporary. And it really can't fill that void that we're trying to fill. It can't give us that true meaning and that purpose that we want. But there's also pleasures that we can enjoy that are not sinful. When we go to polishing the pulpit, most of the time, the past few times that we've gone, we go on a hike. And I enjoy it so much. Just being out in nature, the views that we get from different places where we go in the Smokies. It's a great time. Now, granted, the next day there's some pain associated with that because I'm not in as good a shape as I should be to be doing those hikes. But there's pleasure associated with that. You go on a vacation, you go on a trip, maybe you like to cook, maybe you have a hobby that you enjoy. There's nothing wrong with those pleasures. But friends, they can't give you the true meaning and the purpose that you desire. They can't fill that void that only God can fill. Solomon, as he searched for this meaning and this purpose, he sought for that meaning and pleasures, and he realized it couldn't be found there. But he also sought for meaning in projects. Notice verses 4 through 6. I made my works great. I built myself houses. You read in the books of history and you read about Solomon's building his house. It took 14 years for him to construct his house. Now, that wasn't because of labor shortage or supply shortage. That gives you an idea of the size of it. 7 years he spent building the temple. And he goes on to talk about it. He said, I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. It can be rewarding to build something with your hands, can it? I think about Mr. Steve, the woodworking that he does. I think about others who do different types of projects along those lines. About a month ago, I had the kitchen sink start leaking and the garbage disposal start leaking. And while I had replaced the sink faucet before, I'd never done a garbage disposal, but I went and bought the stuff and fixed it all. And so far, it's not leaking anymore. And there's a sense of pride in that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But eventually, that feeling of pride, that meaning and that purpose is gone. And I think that's why we see Solomon building so much. Because he was trying to get that feeling back. I think that's why we see him listing here all of these different things that he did, trying to get that meaning, that purpose. But of course, once again, it couldn't fill that void. Because true meaning and true purpose can't be found in those things. Something else I thought about under this heading was our jobs. You know, many people identify with their jobs. I think about Dana's a nurse. We have people here who are teachers. We have people here who hold these different positions. Stephen's a mailman. Stephen said no. We have all of these different areas and we identify with that work. But once again, they can't provide that true meaning and purpose. Because what happens to jobs? Sometimes we lose them, don't we? We're fired, we're laid off, we're let go. I think about my dad worked at the same factory for, 30 years. And then one day the factory said, hey, y'all take care of him. And they packed up and moved overseas. If we search for meaning and purpose in those areas, friends, we're not going to find it. And Solomon realized that. A third area where Solomon sought meaning and purpose, he sought for meaning in possessions. Notice verses 7 and 8. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all were who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers and delights of the sons of men and musical instruments of all kinds. Solomon said, I'm gathering all this stuff because I'm thinking surely meaning and purpose can be found in all this stuff. But it wasn't found there. And really, as you think about it, it's a good depiction of the world today, isn't it? It's a depiction of some of us sometimes. As we think to ourselves, you know what? Truly, this will make me happy. You know, if I get that new car, that new car is going to make me happy. If I get that new boat, that new boat's going to make me happy. If I get that bigger house is going to make me happy. That better job, surely that better job, that's what's going to make me happy. If I had more money in the bank, that'll make me happy. You know what happens? There's always someone with a newer car. There's always someone with a bigger boat. There's always someone with a bigger house. There's always someone with a better job. There's always someone with more money in the bank. If you don't believe it, turn on social media. Y'all, don't compare your life to someone else's highlight reels. That's what social media is. It's the highlight reel. You don't have the pictures on social media of you wanting to strangle your kids. That's not found there. It's the pictures where everybody's smiling and everything's wonderful. You don't put the picture, hey, I got this new car that's 20 years old and smokes like a freight train as you drive it down the road. People don't put that on social media. Don't compare your life to someone else's highlight reels. Meaning and purpose is never going to be found in the stuff that we have. Because here's the problem when we try to find meaning and purpose in stuff, y'all. It's never enough. It's never enough. I read an interview with Elon Musk. And something was asked him to the effect of you know, how much money is enough money? And his response was something to the effect of, I don't think there is such a thing. I mean, here's a guy who, him and Jeff Bezos and a few other flip-flop, but they're towards the top of the richest individuals on the planet. But even for them, it's not enough. We need to listen to the words of our Savior. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Friends, true meaning and purpose will never be found in stuff. Solomon realizes that. Fourth and finally, he sought for meaning and purpose in popularity. He sought for meaning and purpose in popularity. Notice verse 9. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Solomon says, I became the greatest. Jesus talks about the fact that the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon to see the wealth and the wisdom of Solomon. And there's nothing wrong with popularity. In fact, that can sometimes give us roads to talk to people about Jesus and share Christ more. But Popularity can also make it more difficult to be a Christian, because there's a temptation there to compromise things, to change things in order to hold on to that popularity. Also, we're scrutinized more when we find ourselves in that limelight. There's a quote that always comes to my mind when I think about popularity. What is popular is not always right. And what is right is not always popular. What is popular is not always right. And what is right is not always popular. Brethren, when we seek after the praise and the recognition of men, we're walking down a very dangerous road. That was the problem of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. In John chapter 12 and verses 42 and 43, we read, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him," Jesus. So even among some of the rulers of the Jews, they believed in Jesus. They believed that Jesus was who He said He was, that He was the Son of God. And so surely if they believe that, they're going to follow Him. They're going to turn away from what they had been doing and follow the Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him. Why? Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Friends, there's the danger of searching for meaning and for purpose and popularity, because we can find ourselves falling into that same trap, to where we seek the praise of men more than the praise of God. Solomon thought he could find meaning and purpose in pleasures and in projects and possessions and in popularity. But ultimately, realizing that he could not, we now come to number two, the king's conclusion. The king's conclusion. Three truths that Solomon realized. First off, he noticed the bitter truth. And under the bitter truth, we really should say the bitter truths, because there's three of these. Number one, he realized everything is useless and empty. He said everything is useless and empty. Notice verses 11 and 12 now. "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind." You ever tried to catch the wind? Why not? Exactly, you can't. You can't go out there right now and say, "Here we go, I got it, Justin. Here's you a handful of wind." It's useless. And that's what Solomon's saying. All this stuff that I've done, it's been like grasping at the wind. "There was no profit under the sun." Verse 12. "Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what has already been done." Solomon says everything has been done. There's nothing new. That's another phrase that you find throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. In his mind, he says everything, all of this stuff is useless and empty. A second bitter truth that he realizes is that everyone must die. In verses 13 through 16, "Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happened to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As a fool." Solomon comes to the conclusion that death is the great equalizer. He says, "Rich or poor, wise or fool, young or old, male or female, king or peasant, all are going to face death." Hebrews 9:27, the Hebrew writer says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment." Brethren, we should all live life with this truth in mind. I'm not saying that we walk around saying, oh no, I'm going to die tomorrow. It's not what I'm saying. But you and I should go about our life realizing that this life is going to come to a close at some point. I am going to at some point stand before God in judgment. We need to be aware of the shortness of life and the certainty of eternity. But under this bitter truth, Solomon realized one other thing. He said, everything that I have will be left to fools. Notice verses 17 through 23. Therefore I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wiser under the sun. This also is vanity. Solomon says, all this stuff that I've done, that I've worked so hard to accomplish, so hard to acquire, so hard to achieve, at some point, it all stays behind. And who knows if the person I leave it to, if they're going to even appreciate it. Therefore, I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor, and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his works burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Solomon said, I've done all of this, and I'm going to leave it to someone who didn't do anything. I've had the opportunity, because of being a preacher, of sitting with people as they've approached the ends of their life. And I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different individuals. You know what's never come up in those conversations? I wish I had worked more hours. I wish I had acquired more stuff. I wish I had bought more vehicles. None of that has ever been said. But I have people who have questioned, have I lived my life the way that I should? I've had people who have said, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish we would have taken other trips or done other things together instead of putting other things in front of that. As that life comes to a close, they're worried about how they live their life. And they're concerned about the loved ones that they leave behind. That's kind of what Solomon's coming to the realization of. That all of this stuff didn't matter. Because all of it was going to be left behind. And as a result, he moves from this bitter truth to a better truth. And we see that in verses 24 through 26. Solomon says, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. If you go back to 1 Kings 3, you recall Solomon. God came to Solomon and said, ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. And you remember what Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom. And the reason he said he asked for wisdom, because of the greatness of the nation that he was going to lead, he needed wisdom in order to lead them properly. And God blessed him with wisdom and said, since you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to bless you with all these other things too. And Solomon's recounting this here. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give it to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Solomon recommends here that we enjoy this life, but it's not a reckless enjoyment that he's talking about. It's not a, hey, eat, drink, for tomorrow you die type of enjoyment. It's not a hedonistic enjoyment. He says, enjoy this life with this realization that God gave it to you. That the blessings that you have are because of God. But he moves from that better truth to what is the best truth. And to find that, we go all the way to the very end of the book. In chapter 12, in verses 13 and 14, Solomon has done all of this searching, all this trying to find meaning and purpose. And if you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, he sounds rough, y'all. He's had a hard go with it. But at the very end of the book, he finally seems to figure it all out. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I've set out to find this meaning and this purpose to life. Solomon says, learn from me. I've looked in all the wrong places, but here's the conclusion. Here's what I found. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. The all of man is found in serving the God of heaven. If you don't feel like you have meaning and purpose, maybe you're not serving the one that you should be. He says, for God, in verse 14, will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's Solomon's conclusion. If you want meaning and purpose, it's found in the God of heaven. Fear God and keep His commandments. A man who had everything finally realized that he had nothing if he didn't have God. What's important to you this morning? Where are you this morning? This morning, will you fear God and keep His commandments? Friend, if you're not a Christian, will you fear God and keep His commandments by becoming one? By believing that Jesus is the Son of God and turning from sin, and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins, and then living faithfully, fearing God and keeping His commandments for the rest of your life. Maybe you've done those things, but you realize this morning, you know what? I've turned away from God. Then friend, turn back. You have a God that loves you, that cares about you, that wants to give you that meaning and that purpose for your life. But He won't force it upon you. You have to want it. Come back to Him. Will you fear God and keep His commandments? Will you do it right now? As together we stand and sing.